Chapter 2, Verbal Communication. Now, business professionals use effective verbal communication skills to get their message across. When we talk of effective communication skills, what are the various aspects which probably need to be looked into? Firstly, am I communicating effectively? That means how or what manner am I putting forward my sentences? That means, in simple words, how is the communication style? Every individual has a different way or style of communicating. Secondly, is there a wavelength? When we talk of wavelength, that means is the speaker and the receiver or the receivers on the same page? And thirdly, when we talk of effective communication, are you giving away thoughts which you don't need to? So ideally, let us discuss the various aspects of effective communication. That means verbal communication. When it's oral communication, presentation, audience awareness, critical listening, body language. When we talk of presentation, how well prepared are you in terms of the information? Are you updated with information? Are you making your presentation more effective with the diagrams probably? Are you making your presentation more effective whereby you also have audience interaction? When you talk of audience awareness, it is very important not to underestimate our audience. We have to assume at all points of time that our audience is updated with information. At no point the speaker should feel that he knows more than the audience. Even if the speaker feels that he knows more than the audience, he then should be updated with information. He or she should be well-versed with information, and he or she should be able to clarify every doubt of the audience. Especially if the audience is as updated or more or less equally updated to the speaker. Critical listening, a very important aspect which we will discuss later on in the coming chapters. Body language, we will also discuss in the upcoming chapters. But of course, gestures, posture, movement, eye contact, all these are important aspects. When it's written, academic writing, revision and editing, critical reading, presentation of data. We have to discuss written communication in depth. So we at that point of time will discuss. But when we talk of written communication, of course we have email, fax, SMS, various ways of written communication. And non-verbal, again, body language, gestures, posture, all this conveys non-verbal communication. Now, ideally, when we talk of effective communication, what according to the speaker is most important? That means we are talking in terms of effective verbal presentation. After studying this chapter, you should be able to understand the nature of oral and written communication, the advantages and disadvantages of oral and written communication, media used for oral and written communication. For example, why would you do audio-video conferencing? Since you know that it is not going to be easily possible to meet the person face-to-face. And technology has an advantage whereby it could be as good as face-to-face meeting when we talk of audio-video conferencing. Office grapevine, selecting appropriate medium for delivery of our messages. Ideally, it is said that in today's wired world, WIRED, face-to-face communication is yet preferred. When I say wired world, it means that though we are connected via internet and technology, face-to-face communication is yet considered effective. Why? Because you have the person literally present in front of you. It is easier to figure out in terms of feedback when the person is actually present in front of you, as compared to written communication, whereby you will not know the views of the sender or the receiver literally as compared to when the person is in your presence. Fundamentals of communication. Communication is generated by verbal or non-verbal channels. Non-verbal communication is critical and sometimes carries more meaning and information than verbal one. But larger volume of communication is verbal and it is either oral or written. Though it is said that non-verbal communication conveys much more than verbal communication. But at the same time, we need to understand that when it is verbal communication, the words ideally, along with facial expressions, gestures, posture, play an important role. Nature of oral communication. Oral communication implies communication through mouth, that means words. It includes individuals conversing with each other, be it direct conversation or telephonic conversation. It is said that for verbal communication, besides having the ability to send across a message with clarity, it is also important that you ideally as a sender, or probably here we talk of the receiver, both should be calm and composed, especially the sender. Because if a person is temperamental, or if a person is going through stress or anxiety, then the intention with which you want to communicate and what you actually communicate will be different. Because you have one message on your mind to put across. But ideally, that message may not go across because somewhere the ability to focus diminishes. So it is very important to stay calm and composed. It is extremely important to ideally be focused and not be temperamental. Speeches, presentations, discussions are all forms of oral communication. Oral communication is generally recommended when the communication matter is of temporary kind or where a direct interaction is required. Well, we won't say temporary kind per se, right? Today when we talk of effective communication, oral communication in terms of face-to-face communication is considered most mandatory and crucial. Say if it's a meeting, if it's a conference, if it's a discussion, it's important. So we can't ideally just let go of by saying that, okay, it's temporary. It is something which is very crucial. Face-to-face communication, meetings, lectures, conferences, interviews is significant so as to build a rapport and trust. The facial expressions of a person conveys a lot. So ideally, that is why we are focusing on rapport and trust. Oral communication is more natural and immediate. We speak to communicate in informal situations. Informal situation, we talk of grape wine, whereby people are just gossiping, discussing unofficial talk, right? Something which is not formal, rigid, bound in terms of communication. We also speak to communicate in formal and official situations like interviews, speeches, meetings, and presentations, right? So when we talk of, say, speeches, the focus is on who is the target audience. Approximately how much in terms of number do we expect? How many people will actually turn up? What ideally is required to be put forward to the audience? What will have an impact on the mind of the audience for a particular topic or a few points which will be discussed? Many people feel nervous, especially when the environment is new or unfriendly. Or persons you have to speak to hold a senior position or many a times belongs to the opposite sex. Now, here we need to understand that when I talk of ideally communication, it is a known fact that fear and shyness definitely will make the subordinate feel uncomfortable to talk to a person at top management. Similarly, if you're in a new environment, say you just started work, a lot depends on your level of confidence. A lot depends that on you as an individual, that this is a new environment. I do not know the people out here. How do I put forward effectively in terms of communication, certain aspects? What should ideally I say, which should not sound incorrect in terms of information? Or probably I myself may not be aware of certain information. So all these aspects need to be looked into. When you talk of yourself speaking to a person who is of the opposite gender, let me assume it's a lot to do about your confidence. We do not, especially when we are working, we do not focus on the gender. We focus on our work, which ideally should be to put forward effectively so that the objectives in the long run are achieved. When it comes to work, it's all about objectives. Then I ideally should not ever feel that it's a new environment or a different environment. Then I ideally should not feel that, okay, you know, I have to speak to my boss and I do get uncomfortable because probably she has 20 years of work experience and I only have 5 years of work experience. You know, we have people who feel uncomfortable. So it's a lot to do, which will be a barrier for you in terms of effective communication. Nature of oral communication. Oral communication is possible when both the parties are available at the same location. You have a direct conversation or at different locations, but at the same time, as in the case with telephonic conversation, right? So both parties being available, say at your organization, at your workplace rather, you ideally are discussing an upcoming project with your colleague or your subordinate. Whereas the other aspect is telephonic conversation, whereby both parties are present, but of course you cannot see the person. In case the other party is not available, you have to substitute oral communication with the written one, or shall we term it recorded communication? Well, I guess in this case, right, we are not, when you are probably seeing the lectures, we are not literally available. It is recorded and uploaded. So I guess when we talk of oral communication, let's take this situation. Why would oral communication be substituted with written communication? What do you think serves the purpose? Say if you want to communicate with somebody and they are not answering their mobiles, the next option you have is sending an email. Why? Because you want to discuss it immediately with the person. Now, in this kind of a situation, what happens is that since a person is not answering his or her mobile, the email may be even replied to 2 days later. So the other option you have is calling up the person, and even if you can leave a message, "Hi, I'm Bhairavi, and please get back to me at the earliest." So what happens then? You have left a message and the person will have no choice but to call you within the next few hours or minimum next 24 hours. Since oral communication is spontaneous, it is not possible to be precise in choice of words, nor is there time to hunt for the most appropriate and accurate words. Well, I guess you need to be prepared when you want to communicate and convey. The only option we have when we talk of communication and conveying is the need to be prepared. But you have an opportunity to seek clarification on the spot by raising your doubts and queries, an alternative that is absent in case of written communication. Yes, in case of written communication, you can write if you do have queries. But we personally feel that it would not really be as effective as in the case of face-to-face communication. Nature of oral communication. While oral communication cannot boast of the best of the words, it has the support of vocal tone, which is very, very important. Expression and gestures which can enrich the meaning of the words. Some individuals are effective orators, others are effective writers. To be successful, one needs to be an effective orator as well as an effective writer. To succeed in your organization, you need to have high command on both these alternatives. Yes. One aspect is for sure. The more successful you want to be, the more effective ways and means you should have in terms of communicating. See, you have strategies, you have a vision, but if you don't communicate it effectively to the people in your organization, then your purpose is not served. So we need to understand that strategies, vision are most effective when we talk of communication. Your objectives, your goals, are you putting it forward appropriately to all the people in your organization? Advantages of oral communication. Thorough understanding. There's a high level of understanding and transparency in oral communication as it is interpersonal. When I say interpersonal, means communication between two or more people. This is more so in face-to-face conversations. It is not necessary for parties to worry about how a particular message is to be interpreted, as there is ample scope to seek clarifications and explanations whenever in doubt. At the end of every oral communication, both the parties are clear about the message under discussion. This only happens if the receiver too is having the confidence to seek clarifications and ask questions or doubts. If you as a receiver do not have that ability to seek the clarification or to sort your doubts, then ideally it can be a problem. So you as a receiver need to have that skill that, see, you're asking the same doubt twice. You can ask the same question in a different manner. Maybe the first time you would probably say, okay, I'd rather repeat. Second time you'd say, oh, but this somewhere looks a bit difficult. So I'm putting the sentence in different ways, whereby you will compel the speaker to explain effectively. So there's no scope of ambiguity. Question answer session that takes place before the closure of any conversation adds clarity to reception and understanding of the subject under discussion. It is very important that you ideally close, that means stop discussing, when all doubts are clarified. Flexibility. When we talk of flexibility, there's no element of rigidity in oral communication. What do we mean by this? There is flexibility for allowing changes in the decisions previously taken. Based on immediate feedback received, either party can change its position after hearing the other side of the story. There is adequate scope to get your ideas cleared by seeking immediate clarifications, a facility not available in written communication. Even in written communication, the person may reply to your email within 6 hours. But then too, your clarifications may not come to the forefront. So you may yet realize that a lot which needs to be clarified is not clarified. It is quite possible that both parties to the conversation have a better perception of the subject matter at the end of the dialogue. Unlike in written communication, you do not need any or material to converse. Well, I guess not necessary. Even if it is a written communication, you can send an attachment, right? But what we are trying to say, that for oral communication, it is different. And for written communication, it's more just to do with words. It's more being clear with your ability to communicate effectively. It's more being to the point. So it has its advantages as well as disadvantages. Just the availability of two or more individuals is adequate, right? So what is really required? Communication between two or more people. Spontaneity. Now, when we talk of effective communication, who is supposed to be a successful communicator or an effective communicator? Someone who is spontaneous. When I talk of being spontaneous, having the ability to hold the conversation, having the ability to put forward ideas. So for example, let's take, being spontaneous with decision-making skills, a brainstorming session where everybody comes up with creative ideas. So you're being spontaneous. And What happens here when you talk of a brainstorming session, when you talk of decision-making session, what is important? That you're being quick with the way you're putting forward your views. And it is required. That means if a decision needs to be taken, you do not take long. Depending on your designation, you take a call immediately. Thus, decisions can be made quickly without any delay. In the current competitive business environment, oral communication is critical for effective decision-making process. Advantages of oral communication. Here we must mention that with availability of fast and reliable communication alternatives, oral communication is feasible 24/7 all over the globe, paving way for the exchange of ideas among two persons located anywhere in the world in a matter of few minutes. Email reaches immediately. Today we also, if you have to have a meeting and if there's a difference in time zones, even via WhatsApp, we can tell the person to ideally get onto Skype so that a discussion can take place. Advantages of oral communication. When we talk of economy, oral communication is not only time saving, but it saves upon money and efforts. So it is economic in terms of cost. When we talk economic in terms of cost, see, if you have to have a printed document, then you need to see that the printer is working effectively. You need to realize that or know that the cartridge is there. So you need to focus on other aspects. Whereas talk ideally of verbal communication, what is required? The presence of two people, right? Here, unlike written communication, you do not need to spend on writing material like paper and pen, pencil, nor is it necessary to pay for typing, printing and posting. So yes, verbal communication, definitely, it just requires the presence of two people. But of course, then, see, there's a flip side to all of it. When you talk of verbal communication, if you talk of audio video conferencing, then it's a one-time investment for having that equipment. So we need to understand that as per the situation, what is the best which suits the needs of others. The total time required for the communication process is shorter as both the sender and receiver are there together at the same time. When you write a message, sender spends some time in writing it and then later receiver has to devote time to read. Such duplication is not there in oral exchanges and costly time of the parties involved is saved. I guess humans are always running against time. So in short, we are saving time. Secrecy. Now, when we talk of secrecy, what is one of the most important aspects for effective communication in terms of oral communication, verbal communication? Probably let's take in the corporate. A very important aspect when you talk of secrecy, not to reveal your emotions. Wherever you are in terms of your work, it is the responsibility of the individual, and it is said that higher the designation, the more able you should be to conceal your emotions. Why is it so? Because when we are talking of verbal communication, the focus is more on objectives and goals rather than on emotions. So very often we come across situations whereby subordinates do not really discuss with people at top management if they are having a terminally ill patient at home. It's how effectively you handle yourself. How able are you to deal with it? Because somewhere, when we talk of verbal communication, the focus should be work. And there will always be a fine line or a slight difference in terms of your professional life and personal life. So the most important aspect here is having a balance. How do you bring about the balance between the two? If you bring a balance between your professional and your personal life, then it gets easier for you to communicate effectively, because our ability to communicate depends on a lot on our immediate surroundings, which means our professional life as well as our personal life. So we need to understand that both have to be segregated. There has to be a fine line between your personal and professional life, or it'll affect your ability to communicate. It'll affect your ability in terms of not being spontaneous. It'll affect your ability in not terms of not being clear when I want to send across a message. It'll also affect my decision making skills, and thus it'll affect my work overall. Oral communication can be best used to transfer private and confidential information or matter. The information is shared by the two parties in the privacy, in the face-to-face communication, and otherwise by private telephones. So of course, when you talk of emails, right? And you're the only one who has access to the password as far as your inbox is concerned. So of course, it means that the information is only between person A and person B. Here we do not consider eavesdropping by secretaries or telephone operators. Eavesdropping, overhearing. When you get connected through telephone exchanges, nor do we recognize the possibility of your phone connection being tapped by secret agents or tax authorities. So we are saying all these aspects do not exist. Then it will be confidential. Thus, you have an advantage in exchanging secret important data and decisions without any third party holding you responsible for the same. So the ability to keep information confidential is of course between two people, but it's also about the other possible aspects such as your phone being tapped, or probably ideally someone is overhearing your conversation. All those aspects are overlooked. So, let us discuss team building. Oral communication is best in case of problem resolution. In day-to-day operations of a business or any other organization, differences arise among the members, especially when they're handling diverse functions or regions. So, a lot to do with varied thought processes, a lot to do with heterogeneous mindset. That means people having varied views, perceptions, beliefs, ideas, thought processes. So when we talk of team and morale building, let us go further. Such conflicts, disputes, and issues and differences can be put to an end by talking them over. When a person gets an opportunity to express his or her ideas or opinion on matters under dispute and has an assurance that others have understood, if not accepted them, bad feelings created by the conflict diminish, if not disappear. So we need to understand that clashes, disputes, disagreements are a part of any organization. The idea is that the opposite person or the members or the people should have the ability to ideally accept what is being put forward. See, when I accept an idea which is put forward, doesn't mean I've agreed. I've accepted upon that, since probably there may not be a choice, there may not be a choice, or probably I've agreed to disagree. So it's probably just accepting it out of no choice. Because at all points of time, my ideas and views and perceptions will not match with yours. So there will be a difference. Thus, we will observe in terms of advantages of oral or verbal communication that it is essential in terms of an ingredient for teamwork and group synergy. When I say synergy, people ideally working effectively together. It brings team members together to share the difficulties and seek solutions without any serious damage cause. Such quick resolution of conflicts promotes a receptive and encouraging morale among organizational employees. So we are talking of the various disagreements which may happen, but it can all be talked and discussed. This is a major contributor to organizations placing a very high priority for quick and effective communication among their employees. And also for interviewers placing such high weightage to a communication skills at job interviews. Yes, it is a known fact today that when you go for an interview, how effectively you communicate is taken into consideration. Because the more effective you are with communication, the more persuasive you can get, the more convincing you are in terms of achieving what you want to through that interview. That means your ability to convince comes through that interview. Lack of formality. What do we mean by this? Relying only on oral communication may not be sufficient in associations and offices, as business communication is formal and very organized. We have a tendency to believe in what we see is black and white. That means it's either this or that. Nothing in between. For clarity and ease in implementation, all financial and business decisions are written and duly approved. Oral communication is less authentic than written communication, as it is informal and not well organized. More than informal, we'd say it was less authentic because very often in terms of oral communication, there is no proof. Whereas in written communication, we have a proof. So if there is no proof, then ideally, what you convey, you can easily change your stance. You can bring a shift by saying that, no, I did not communicate this. There's a misunderstanding. And you can backtrack in terms of a commitment given by you. In case of disputes, oral communication cannot be produced before authorities as a piece of evidence to check its authenticity unless it was recorded or unless it is recorded. Any communication requiring a stamp of approval cannot be in oral format. Then it has to be written communication. Time consuming. Now, when we talk of oral communication, is time consuming as far as daily interactions are concerned. But in case of meetings, long speeches consume a lot of time and are unproductive at times. I guess it depends. Ultimately, you as a speaker should feel, did my message go across? Did I convey to one and all during the meeting what I should have and what I wanted to? Those aspects need to be looked into. On many occasions, persons who have no direct connection with the matter under discussion are invited for a meeting, and until it is over, they are unable to carry their jobs. That means somewhere you attend a meeting, you're not really a part of the meeting in terms of the information, but you're a part of the meeting because you're seated there. So it ideally can be a wastage of time. Oral communication requires attentiveness and great receptivity on part of the receivers, who therefore have no option to carry any other activity. This means they have to keep all their other important and sometimes critical assignments just to participate in exchange of ideas. So you are focusing on one aspect instead of another. Lack of clarity. There may be misunderstanding in oral communication, as the information is not complete and may lack essential, right? So you do not have complete information. There are a few aspects missing. A few links are not there. So it can ideally create misunderstanding. The person can misinterpret it. Since ideas are not written down and prioritized, the speakers have not spent time in studying the subject and collecting their thoughts. There are thus gaps in decision-making process. It is often observed that each person has materially different perception or interpretation as to what was unanimously agreed at the end of the conversation. So, for example, a person at top management says that, all right guys, let's call for tea and snacks. We're finished with the meeting. Now, what happens? See, out of 10 people, 4 may have not agreed to what he or she has finally expressed towards the end. But since it is a person at top management who has taken this call, the others don't have a choice. Well-written minutes of the meeting can only resolve misunderstandings. minutes of the meeting. It is a legal document. It is ideally a document which has every aspect as to what went on right from the start till the end of the meeting. Hence, for all important business matters, there is no option but to communicate with them or communicate them through clear and precise written communication. Now, when we talk of face-to-face communication, conventional wisdom tells us that face-to-face communication is more effective than other types of communication such as telephone or email. Say probably if you're discussing, or let's take negotiation, if you're probably having a negotiation, a lot says about the two people who are sitting across the table and negotiating. When we talk of negotiation, it's a win-win situation. But how are both of them dealing with negotiation in terms of a skill? What is it they're conveying, which ideally they would not have if it was via telephone? That means, how are they conveying in terms of face-to-face communication, that the non-verbal cues which come in picture? The argument in favor of face-to-face medium is that telephone or email communication lacks important non-verbal cues to help us understand the message. Take for example, if you do not agree to what the opposite person is saying, your behavior would change. You would probably become defensive. One change would be that you do not have maybe eye contact with the person. Another change would be that you probably, instead of leaning forward to show your enthusiasm while you're seated, you probably move backward. Another important aspect in terms of behavior would be your head moving down. That means not looking into the eyes of the person. So head bowing down. Various ways to show that you are kind of disagreeing to what the speaker is saying. This, of course, could also mean that you're disinterested, maybe, but these are defensive techniques. So non-verbal cues, especially in terms of defensive techniques, show up easily. What are those non-verbal cues and how important they are in communication? Even though we lack an all-encompassing non-verbal communication study, all the individual studies point to a common finding. That means, more or less, we can say that, say, probably not having appropriate eye contact is a non-verbal cue. Generally, if you cross your arms, now of course it could also mean, say, I'm feeling cold right now, but crossing your arms, a defensive technique. You're negotiating and one of the parties is under tremendous stress while negotiating. So how your non-verbal cues are expressed, which only happens in face-to-face communication. See, if it's via telephone, I would say, all right. And while talking, I would do so, the person would not even realize. If it's face-to-face, I would probably somewhere indirectly show it.